Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Man's Voice here on this spring date. It's a nice way to go into spring. I mean, some of us have good weather, some of us have cloudy, but as we move along and get into the new season, it's always good to hear what men are talking about, so we're glad you're with us on the Man's Voice today. And if you are listening and we're talking about something, we really would appreciate if you give us a call and give us your opinion and join us on the panel. That number is 646-668-8740. And the host today will be panelist from sunny Florida, Don. And we are glad to have him on. But Don, I have a couple of questions. Someone sent me a message for you, and it said several times you have talked about America having a heart problem. And now that you have the diagnosis, what is your treatment plan? You never tell us. Can you please tell us what your treatment plan is for this heart problem, Don, as we move on?
That's a good question, David.
That was from one of our listeners who sent that in, and obviously the way it's written, I would say it's a medical person.
Okay. All right. I got the antidote or the diagnosis. I'll answer it before the end of the show. Whoever asked that question, I got the answer. So stay tuned to A Man's Voice.
All right, sir. And also, I understand there's a state of emergency down there in South Beach because of spring break. What's going on down there?
Well, David, we got a serious problem. Killer DeSantis and our mayor have started a ruckus that's never happened before. South Beach has a curfew. We got the National Guard. We got the police with, I call them juice bombs or whatever you want to call them, running people off of South Beach with a curfew at 8 o'clock. And it's never happened before. Well, thank you very much, David. We're going to get into that. We got a lot of things to talk about today. There's been so much happening over the week. This has been a difficult week. We've had so many different issues. But before we do that, David, I'd like to thank you for being the visionary for A Man's Voice. We've been able to really speak to a lot of men and women during this program, and I thank God for giving you the vision. First of all, I like to say there's a gentleman on the West Coast, sunny California. His name is Michael. Michael, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do. Talk to us, my brother.
All right, I will do. Thank you very much, Don Wiggins. And I want to say this first, my brother. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on the show today with you in the driver's seat. I know you are a very fair person and balanced, so I know you're going to do a good job hosting it. So kudos to you, my friend. Good luck. My name is Michael Kimbrough. I am from the West Coast right here in Los Angeles. I'm a very proud member of the BLM organization. I'm a far-left advocate, strong supporter of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and I was not a fan the last 4 years of Donald Trump.
All right. In the U.S. hotspot, Miami, we got a man by the name of Ron. Ron, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Don. Thank you. And like Michael said, I'm
really looking forward to a great show. You are probably the most fair host that we will have on the show. So I'm really looking forward to a great discussion, and I know that the topics will be very timely and very engaging. Like Michael, I consider myself, politically speaking, leaning toward the left. Maybe not, I wouldn't consider myself a radical left person, but maybe a little bit closer toward the middle, but leaning toward the left, and I like to keep an open mind about things and try to judge things and talk about things with an open mind and with fairness. So that's just a little bit about me.
Well, we have a nice variety of people on this call as hosts and commentaries. I'm a product of the Midwest before I moved to sunny South Florida, but I got a brother from another mother in the Midwest. His name is Bruce. Bruce, are you there?
I am, Brother Don, and I, too, support you and your willingness to be fair and to be good, and hope you do extremely well as our host today. Don't know why they called you a host donut, but that's another thing you can tell me later. That's a thing I don't understand. A little bit about me. I'm a proud family man. I'm going to describe myself outside of politics, since we do so much of that. I have two wonderful children, two grandchildren. Love the Midwest. Have been planted with my feet on the ground in parts of the Midwest my entire life. Consider myself a very fair and objective person. I like to judge people based on who they are and what they do versus what any kind of group they're associated with. So, and I've been that way my entire life. I'm in the vintage age group now, so we have a good cross section of youth, vintage, old, whatever you want to call us, mid, and across the country. So I think the man's voice has a good eclectic mix that fosters good dialogue.
I agree with you, Bruce. We also have millennials like Jeremiah.
That's right.
That's right.
Jeremiah, are you here, Jeremiah?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Tell us a little bit about Don. Jeremiah. Yes, tell us a little bit about Jeremiah.
32 years of age, business owner, caring individual, and I love that we come together on Sundays and talk about what men would want to hear and everyone else that do listen to us.
Thank you very much, sir. The caller asked me what I meant by a heart problem. We got a man living in a city where a man had a heart problem. Well, no, he had a bad day. He's in Atlanta. Darius, how you doing?
Brother Don, I'm doing absolutely fantastic, man. So much better than I deserve, thanks to the goodness and grace of God. I'm a humble country boy, country farm boy from South Carolina. Grew up in a traditional Christian family, which is why I lean conservative, because first and foremost, I am a Christian in love with Jesus Christ. But I'm also the father of six beautiful daughters and a son. So I'm a father, faithful husband, and I'm just proud, man, and privileged to be called a friend amongst a bunch of intellectuals like you guys. And Don, man, I'm so looking forward to hearing you host the show today, brother. You're more than capable, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say today.
Thank you, Darius. We got a lot of sports fans out there. On sports, we have Spencer. Spencer, what's it look like on the court today?
Hey, everybody, how you doing? Oh, man, we got some and a lot of things happening on the courts and on the field, on the turf. We have the biggest news of the day is that number one, Illinois got upset today. So they're out the tournament, first number one to go out. We have LeBron James in L.A. He got a high ankle sprain, so he'll be out for about a couple games. So I'm pretty sure they'll just fall in rankings and fall all the way off. I would want to say that the biggest things that happened so far in sports today or this week is Houston quarterback Deshaun Watson has been accused of sexual harassment and all types of things. So we'll just see how that plays out. I think his lawyer just provided evidence that he didn't do it or some things like that. So right now that's a big hot topic right now in the world of sports is the quarterback, Deshaun Watson.
Thank you, Spencer. We'll get back with you later on before the show ends so you can give us some more, okay? But right now we're going to invite you, the listener, to call in at 646-668-8740. You're welcome. Let's start this thing off by going all the way down to the bottom of the country in Miami, Florida, sunny Miami, where there's never been a curfew on the South Beach spring break. Now, we used to have the Freaknik in Atlanta. We got people of black, brown, white, hue, all getting together and just really enjoying themselves on South Beach is crazy. Never been shut down before in history. Never been shut down. But Killer DeSantis and the Miami mayor saw fit to do a curfew last night at 8 o'clock, and they called the military out. Ron, what do you think about that?
Well, Don, thank you. Thank you for calling on me first. I live down here, so I hear about it constantly on TV. As you said, this, as far as I know, has never happened during spring break before. And I hate, right off the bat, to turn this into a racial thing. But, the question begs to be asked because what you have in my mind, and for the listeners that don't know what's going on, here's the situation. Spring break is the time of year when basically college students from around the country go to different parts of the country. It's not just South Florida, but Miami and Fort Lauderdale are two of the hot spots. Texas, South Padre Island and other places, I'm sure California too. Attract a lot of these college students that are on spring break, like a week vacation. So what's been happening down here, and every year we have the influx of spring breakers, and it's great. It's great for the local businesses, the restaurants, the stores, the economy in general. And what's been happening this year is there's been a lot of violence. Okay, and it's gotten a little bit out of control in Miami. I don't know about other places, but in Miami Beach, not Miami, so they're two different cities, just to clarify. In Miami Beach, there's been a lot of violence, especially later at night. There's been gun violence, a lot of arrests, a lot of guns seized, a lot of drugs, and it's a dangerous situation to the point where the residents who live there year-round were being, they were afraid. They were afraid to go to the shop. They were afraid to go drive down the streets. So, but the reason I brought up the race card, if you will, is for some reason, and you've all seen the pictures in the news, the majority of the spring breakers in Miami Beach this year are African-American, and I think that's a fair statement. I haven't been out to the beach recently myself, but you know, at least that's what the media is focusing on. But then you go up the road about 20 some odd miles to Fort Lauderdale Beach, and I think it's almost the converse. So up there, the spring breakers are mostly white, and life goes on. And, you know, it's the same situation as down here, the partying, the lack of wearing masks, you know, the no social distancing. I guess the big difference is, in my mind, I don't know if they're using the violence as an excuse to crack down. I mean, I hope that's not the case. But I don't think that, you know, it's fair, in my opinion, to impose a curfew on a group of people that and you know, you have to, when you listen to the media, they're very careful about not using about not bringing race into this. And there's, and they say, you know, I'm sure you've heard it, Don. They say they're not against any group of people. What they are against is people that are misconduct, the misconduct that's going on. So, okay, well, you know, that seems like a fair statement. But why impose? And by the way, it's not just a curfew. They closed the three causeways that go into Miami Beach. So the only people that can go in after 8 p.m. or if you live there or if you work there. So there's been cases in the news where there's friends that are staying in Miami Beach that are down here vacationing, and there's friends of theirs that are staying in the city in Miami, and when they go at night to try to meet up, they don't let them in because they, you know, they don't live there or work there. So it's just a big, big mess. You know, businesses are suffering. And then, you know, in Fort Lauderdale, there's no curfew. So I don't even know what to think, Don. I mean, I think race is behind it, obviously. And I mean, I don't know. Today they had an emergency council meeting. I don't know what the results of that were, but I know that the mayor, Dan Gelber, is under a lot of pressure from you know, from a lot of the residents, and some of these residents live in you know, very fancy buildings and fancy apartments, and I guess they're putting pressure on the mayor, and he didn't know what else to do but to say, you know, I've had enough, we're imposing a curfew. But then you see on the media, you know, the police, and there's police forces from all different, you know, like you said, Don, I think even the National Guard is there, and they're spraying, I don't know, pepper spray or what, I don't know what the heck they're using, but it looks like a riot going on down here.
Ron, you summed it up so very well. Also in that demographic is a 31 or a 32-year-old young man in the heart of Miami. His name is Jeremiah. What are you seeing, Jeremiah?
I would like to start off by saying this. The media has imposed that there's a lot of violence going on or crime or drugs or guns. Who knows Miami? That's not new, okay? If you look at crime statistics prior to this event, it's always been crime in Miami. So I don't know the ratio of crime that's going on right now. I would hate that they would portray that. Things are going to happen. And let's jump on the other side of town, which I was fortunate to visit and be around due to a client of mine needing a proposal for some work. So I was in Hollywood Beach. No social distancing at the same time. But, okay, we can say probably no violence, no guns, no drugs. Well, we won't say no drugs because we know there's drugs everywhere. But the same issue is throughout the country right now. I think they needed some guidance on something to do, but an 8 o'clock curfew is pretty early for people that have spent a lot of money to come to Miami. You know, and think about all these people. They've been social distancing, have not been around a lot of people, have been abiding by so many rules around the country. This is their free time. Like, we can finally party. We can finally do something. I've got my COVID shot. You know, you can't control what other people do. And I would say another thing. You know, Miami Beach is all not super luxury living. Let's just remember that. You know, there's one-bedroom apartments. There's studio apartments on Miami Beach. There's still a different scale or I would say, type of resident that lives in Miami Beach. Everybody's not over, you know, $80,000 or $100,000 annual salary that lives in Miami Beach. We got the regulars. There are homeless people that live on Miami Beach. So let's not paint the picture that it's all so fine and great. You know, Miami Beach is down the street from other places like downtown Miami, Key Biscayne. We have a lot of great areas in Miami. And guess what? Our hood in Miami is right down the street. So don't be surprised that it's crime going on. Miami's been full of crime. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure there are other nationalities on the beach other than blacks. You're going to see some Caucasians. You're going to see some Hispanics. You're going to see some of everything. So I'm not too sure that clip that I saw in the news is just straight black people. And they may have been a problem, or that just may have been the situation at that particular time. And you got South Beach, you got North Beach. It's a pretty large area. And that was only one little scene of a pretty large area. So I think something needed to be done, but things got very drastic. But let's see what happens. We should have some announcement today or tomorrow about what they're going to do moving forward, and we'll find out, Don.
Thank you very much, Jeremiah. We got a lot to cover, and I'm going to see if I can move as many different questions as I possibly can. Okay, Bruce, we're coming at you. You know, three-fourths of America has been supporting the American Relief Plan, better known as the COVID bill. Now, Republicans voted this thing in by voting no. No Republicans even voted for this. They voted no, but yet and still, they still want to take the dough. What do you think about that, Bruce?
Well, I understand their principles for not acting on the relief plan with all the extra, far more than focused on COVID things in it to billions of dollars. But on the part of accepting the money, I mean, you've heard the reasoning that either party would use if the other party was giving it. Well, everybody else gets it. We do need it, so we're going to take it. So my point in saying that is principle over price is always a struggle. Our legislators have a higher struggle with than maybe you and I do. They won't, because I guess part of it is because, and I would say this of both sides, they are representing other people in their state, and they're the fear you hear, and I think I would hear it on both sides, but you hear it on the Republican side now, is if we don't take it, they'll just give it to somebody else. So we should get our cut of the pie once the pie has been baked and put out to serve. Where you've got to decide on who gets what is before it gets to that point. So if it was just you and I in principle about whether you and I take something or I take something, that's a whole lot easier than if you're representing a whole bunch of people that you're supposed to help benefit and move things forward for your district, state, city, community, whatever. So I see the struggle. I think you can call it hypocritical on some of the taking of it, but it doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't.
Well, you know, I want to throw this out to the panel and help me out with this. Our prior administration said that they wanted to inflict pain with closing the border and taking children away from their parents. And that's what the prior administration did. Now we got immigrants coming to the border thinking that they can get in. Think about that.
Oh, I definitely want to, but let someone else go first.
I'll speak on that, Don. This is Darius in Atlanta.
Go right ahead, Darius. Go ahead.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it. I kind of disagree with the premise, but for the sake of argument, I'm going to let you have that. I never remember the prior administration saying they wanted to inflict pain on incoming immigrants. But
The reason why I said that is the amount of children that are in camps.
Okay. All right. So I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm sure Bruce was probably going to jump on this as well. What you're looking at right now is the same thing, but even worse than what Donald Trump faced when people were coming across the borders. Children weren't being taken away. You have unaccompanied minors that are coming across the border. Joe Biden is putting these minors in shipping containers with windows on them and bars on the windows, and saying that because they have butterflies in there in a welcoming center, butterflies on the wall, that it's a better situation. They're still separated from their parents. You cannot keep parents and children together when you're not clear on the identity of the child or the parent. So a lot of these times, these are coyotes bringing kids across borders. These are people who paid the parents to bring a kid because they know they can get across the border if they have a minor with them. But you have to separate them to process them. Now, it's funny that now nobody's talking about the amount of children that are being held separately now. It's been so much that I heard they even had to open up another facility, the Dallas Convention Center, to accommodate all the children that are coming over unaccompanied. This is a result of a lax policy and poor border control. When you open the floodgates and you don't have any prerequisites on getting in, this is what happens. But you can't process adults and children together, and the media knows this, and the politicians know this, but they want to put forth this propaganda that Donald Trump was the first and only president ever to have kids separated from their parents. And that's just not true. And we see this happening right now with Joe Biden. But somehow, Don, you failed to mention the fact that we have more kids separated now than ever before from adults. They're in separate facilities.
Well, you know, we got an issue, and it's not a problem. It's an issue. That issue has been going on ever since we've had the United States of America. People have come from different countries to seek asylum and to gain entrance into this great country. You know, I want to kind of move along by going to California, where there's a large amount of Asian people. And I know we have a very sharp gentleman there that can tell us a little bit about the aftermath. Well, I'm going to speak about it later, of America's heart problem, but we had a young man in California that, eight people were killed and lost their life, and I think he can speak on it very well because it's a very Asian community, and it's concerning hate crimes.
That was in Georgia, Don. I'm sorry. That happened in Georgia, in Atlanta.
I'm sorry. That did happen in Georgia. But there's a disproportionate amount of Asian people on the West Coast in California is what I wanted to say. And I know we got a wonderful person named Michael that can talk about that, with that Asian community being so rapid in the West Coast. What are you seeing on that situation, my brother?
Yeah, thank you for calling on me on that question, Don, because that is a very big topic, and it's one that's kind of close to my heart because I know what it's like to be discriminated against. So it angers me when I see now that the Asian community being a target of discrimination, and it's really gotten out of hand to where I've seen 75-year-old grandmothers getting pummeled, getting beat up, not to mention what just happened, you're correct, Darius, in your city of Atlanta, Georgia, where those 8 Asian women lost their life because of some white supremacists. So that, it really pains me to see the discrimination and the pain they're going through. But, I mean, I don't condone violence on anybody, but I think we got to look at the root of the problem, and we got to look at the cause of the violence. And it is, and people hate to hear it, it's white supremacy in America. It's America's original sin of being a racist, apartheid nation. that's the problem we need to address right now, because the hatred came from the top. It came from Donald Trump disrespecting that community, disrespecting, trying to make it seem like the coronavirus was all their fault. It just breathed life into a cell of racism that was already within our system. He just breathed so much life into it. So I'm reaching out to everyone in the country, asking them to please stop. Stop being so angry and so violent, and let's try to come together as a nation. Let's put this evil racism behind us, finally, if we can, and move our country forward.
Darius, you're absolutely right. It did happen in Atlanta, and I think it's a direct result of the aftermath of our leader of the previous administration. With the Chinese virus, Kung Fu. I mean, come on. Do you think that had an effect on what happened?
Thanks, Don. I appreciate that you coming back to me on that. Because this is something that's really been bothering me for a while. What this guy did was absolutely terrible. I mean, it was awful. But, you know, the guy told the police why he did what he did. The guy said he had a sex problem. He was a sex addict. And supposedly some of these massage parlors also front as brothels. So he was going there, going to these massage parlors, and he was getting sexual favors or having intercourse, one or the other. And so his way of dealing with the problem he had, as demented as it is, was to kill the people that were running these massage parlors, quote unquote, fronting for sex shops. He said that. Racism never came up. But somehow we have developed, you know, our own agenda. Damn what he says happened, because we can look inside his skull. We can look inside his heart, and we can tell that what he really did was he killed them because Donald Trump called it the China virus, and he wanted to get all Asians because he's a degenerate, redneck, white nationalist, KKK-supporting, card-carrying member of white supremacy. Damn the facts. This is what we're going with because this is appropriate at this time. Guys, we have to stop this. This is crazy. The man said exactly why he did what he did. But you still, the narrative, the facts don't fit your narrative, so you got to turn it into something else. And I also want to say this to my good brother Michael. I'm glad to hear that he's against violence and old ladies getting hit over the head. I hope the next time Antifa or Black Lives Matter destroys an old lady's business or hits an old lady over the head for wearing a Trump hat, I hope he steps up and says, guys, we need to stop this violence. The next time they burn a police car or burn down a police precinct, that he'll step up and say, guys, we need to cut this stuff out.
Bruce, I know you want to jump in on this one. This man drove about hundreds of miles to another city to kill some more Asian women. What about that? Does he have a heart problem? Is this a hate crime? What do you think?
As Darius and Michael both said, it was a hate crime, but in my opinion, one for the wrong reason, one for the right reason, as heinous as this was. It was this person's, who happened to be white, no hiding that, had a heart problem and wanted to resurrect his situation by killing those that he thought were causing it. Had nothing to do with racism. As Darius, you could hear in Darius's voice, when are we going to stop this? Racism talk, racism discussion does not bring anything or anyone together. We all know we still have a lot of problems. And in fact, I was thinking about this today. So that's the short part of the answer, but the extension is we're all race-based people in one way, the human race. We never talk about the human race. It's not black race, white race, Asian race. Those are, in today's environment, words and actions that separate people. They do not try to bring people together. And I think if you analyze so many of these problems, not all of them, but so many of them, on an individual basis on how things started, is even these despicable acts, you would find that it was a individual's problem. It wasn't the black, race problem. And say we say sometimes a lot of the bad things that Black Lives Matter group, not Black Lives, but group, do wrong. And you'll say a lot of things about a white representative group that does things wrong. But if you were to take the people involved in those situations and looked at the person or the direct people involved in that problem, you would find that it's their problem. It's not their race. It's not that they were born into the black race or the white race. It's their environment. It's their thought process. It's their heart, as you say so many times, Don, that makes them get to the point they're at of frustration, of honor, of killing mode from top to bottom to make them do things. It's not the group mentality. Group mentality in these days seems to foster nothing but anger and division and confrontation. Individuals, if we went to look at that, we would find almost more than not, it's not their race, it's their individual, it's you, it's me, it's you, Michael, it's Darius, it's Jeremiah, it's Ron, it's Don, it's what we do, not our group, race, color of our skin.
Don, may I say something?
Yes, you may.
I can't disagree with anything you said or Darius, same thing with you and Michael, but let me just throw this out there just as food for thought. And here's the reason why I, along with so many others, think that racism was involved in this instance. Yes, he was addicted to sex. That is correct. That's a true statement. However, he drove I don't know how many miles and passed other places, other, you know, quote-unquote sex places where they were not Asian, where he could have stopped and done the same thing, but he didn't do that. He went to the Asian massage parlors. So that's the reason that I think there was racism involved in this instance. And I'm not the only one saying that, obviously.
Ron,
also, to add to what you just said, Ron, we have it fueled by a political person by the name of Congressman Roy throwing a racial statement out by saying we should invoke the lynching in the Asian hate crime hearing. I mean, you just don't make statements like that when you're a political candidate in the heat of what we've been experiencing for 400 years as people of color. Now, Asian and people of that denomination have had businesses in the black community for years. We've gone through the same situation. So we've got a major issue here, and it's going to be the topic in the news for the next week or two when we deal with it. Go ahead, Bruce, you wanted to say.
The only thing I wanted to say, and Ron makes a valid point, but the only way we'll really ever know is to get inside this person's head. And none of us are professional enough to do that. But my point is we always want to fall back on the same answer. Well, this is racism. Well, and you've heard me say this before. Racism does not go one way. Racism is colorblind. Now, it might hurt one race more than another, but race as it is colorblind. Any race can have it. Any race can fight it. Any race can cause it to flourish in their own race. So that's something to consider as well. That you're not going to know truly what this person did unless we have someone that really knows what he did. And if it doesn't fit an agenda, then it doesn't fit the agenda. I mean, we seem to want to fit everything into a hole. Well, it's not what I wanted to come out to be, so let's call it racism.
Can I weigh in on that, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Bruce, you and Darius, come on, guys. We're never going to get past racism and be this colorblind meritocracy until you guys start admitting that racism exists. That's the problem. Anytime there's a racist, clearly a racist issue, you guys always try to brush it off and say, oh, race had nothing to do with that. Similar to in the 50s and 60s when they were lynching black men and the white supremacists would say, I didn't lynch him because he was black. His color is skin has nothing to do with the reason why we're lynching them. That's exactly how you guys sound right now. Darius, it was clearly race, okay? The guy had a sexual fantasy. Let's call it what it is. He had a hard-on for Asian women. He did. He was going paid to have sex with them. They rejected him on an emotional level, and he went crazy and shot him up. That's what it was. It's no different how during slavery, all those racist white men, they slept with those black women every night they did, but they would go out and kill the black men, okay? It's the same thing. The guy was a white supremacist. Call it out, Darius. Call it out, Bruce. Call out racism when you see it, and then maybe we can get past it. Otherwise, we're never going to get anywhere.
Should we ignore what his reason was? He said why he did it. Should we ignore that?
Of course you should ignore what a killer said, Darius. Yes.
Oh, okay. So his motive, what he said his motive was, means absolutely nothing because you know better. You know what's inside his head. You know what he was thinking.
Could he lie to you? Darius, could he lie to you? Darius, could he lie to you?
Crazy, Darius. That means you're crazy, too, if you take his word.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would be crazier if I think that you're a mind reader and you can tell what's inside his head over him. Then that would make me even crazier to believe why he said he did what he did.
I know if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, if you don't see a duck when he's walking like a duck, yeah, you're crazy.
Michael. All the Asian colonists, and this is to what Ron said earlier. Well, he only selected the racist ones. You guys, where you are right now, I want Google when you get off the phone or go on Craigslist and look up massage parlors. Every single one of them, and this is not racist. All of them that engage in those type of activities are majority Asian. The chance
Darius,
of him getting
I know what these places are doing, what they're about. I don't want to kill none of those women. Let me finish what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is he didn't target Asian women. He targeted massage parlors. Yeah, all those massage parlors happen to have Asian women. It's not like he passed the black massage parlor, the white massage parlor, or the Mexican massage parlor. They all are Asian. That's what I'm saying to you. Okay. And for us to try to
Darius,
say we know what his heart, where his heart is crazy.
Darius,
yes.
Ask a quick question. What made him pick the actual woman that he killed? How did he pick who he was going to kill?
I have no idea. And I don't pretend to know what was in his heart. All I can go by is what he said.
Okay, so did he say if that woman didn't like Caucasian men, he would then kill her?
No, he didn't say that, from what I understand.
Well, how do you know if that's the case, though?
He said he had a sexual addiction, and the massage parlors were the source of his sexual addiction, and that's why he did what he did. Guys, I'm not trying to say racism
doesn't make a lot of sense.
That would be crazy to say that. Say that again?
But that still doesn't make a lot of sense. You still are not,
none
still
of it
not
makes
telling
any
me
sense.
Why you have. So why would you believe him then? If everything he did doesn't make sense and what he said doesn't make sense, why would you directly believe what he said?
Because all I have to go on is what he said. I can't pretend to know what's in his head or his heart. I cannot mind read. Neither can anybody on this panel. So all we have to go on is why he said he shot the people that he shot. That's all we can go on.
Okay, I'll tell you this.
It's not
all
we have to go on. We have the facts to go on, too, Darius. The facts were there were all Asian women. He was a white racist man. Those are the facts.
If there's a situation where the woman
denied him sex. I'd like to introduce this gentleman. This is a man's voice, and I'd like a listener that happens to be Asian to give us a call at 646-668-8740. David, stand by. We got an Asian person listening, and I'd like to have them chime in on what we're talking about right now, because this is going to be a topic that's going to be talked about all week long. Is he a racist? Is this a hate crime? What do you think?
All of the above.
Now, let's move it a little further. Man, we got so much to talk about. Not enough time. You know, all this racism and the issues that we've been talking about, gentlemen, today won't matter at all unless we solve this virus. This virus is killing our people. It's affecting people of all races, but it's disproportionately affecting people of color. I thank God for this president we have, because he's achieved his goal of 100 million vaccines. And the vaccine has gone to 60% white, 10% black or African American, 8% Latin, and very few Asian. Why is that? Can anyone tell me why it's disproportionately gone or made available to the white?
Oh, Jesus, Don.
Tell me. You start it out. Start it out.
Unbelievable. All right. Everything in the world that's a problem does not have a racist tag. Yeah, I thought you wanted me to answer.
I want you to answer.
Okay, you're using my time.
Give me 2 minutes.
You're using my time. You want me to answer?
Yes.
Okay. Every problem in this world does not have a racist tag on it. Michael, we do recognize there's real race and real problems and real injustices, but not every single thing is racist. And that's what we're becoming a country of. The card, when you don't have to think about it or debate it or present another point of view, it's racist. That's the end of the conversation. It's like a get-out-of-jail-free card in that sense, and I don't mean that in any derogatory way. We have, Don, as you said, how do we get past this? We stop causing, we make things that are truly racist that, and things that are truly injustices for other reasons those. We don't call everything racism, because that will not unite anyone. And by the way, finally, racism goes different directions. Race, black to white, white to black, every color to every color. It's not just one way with one race. There's racism in all forms in different ways.
Bruce, we were talking about the vaccine. I said the vaccine has disproportionately affected people of color and has not been made available. It has not been made available to the market or the people that it disproportionately affects.
You don't know it's not been made available. Maybe they decided not to take it.
Hey, Don.
Okay.
Don, this is Gary. I would argue that it is proportionate, Don. We're 13% of the population, and about 10% of us have been vaccinated. That's proportionate.
It has not been made available in areas where people of color have been disproportionately affected because they don't have the transportation, they don't have the websites or the computers, things like that. We got people coming in from Naples that have come into South Florida to get in line and supersede people of color on taking this vaccine. So, I mean, it's a true fact that people of color are reluctant to take it, but the thing is, we've got to do better. We've got to do better if we want to solve this COVID-19 situation. We've got to hit the people that it disproportionately affects. That's called marketing.
Education, right, Don? education so people understand why they should take it. I agree with that. I think everybody does. Up here in Michigan, we don't have that problem at all. We don't have that split. I understand you could there, but up here where I am, you don't even have to answer what race you are. Race isn't an issue when taking COVID.
I think on top of education, Don, you're right. I think access needs to be improved. And I'm thinking locally, right? I'm thinking of Overtown, for example. And a lot of you don't know anything about Overtown, but I do. And I can't think of one Publix grocery store where they're doing vaccines. I can't think of one CVS, one Walgreens inside Overtown to make it easily accessible like it is where I live, for example.
You see, Ron is speaking from experience where I'm living right now. And seeing the thing is, I know political candidates and political people here in South Florida have made the vaccine a political tool where they put it in places that have supported them in their candidacy. That's what I'm saying.
And can I add something to what Don said to, I can't believe I'm saying this, but to Joe Biden's credit, I think, is he has said now, and up here it's proven out excellent, that our group up here is initiated distribution and getting shots through all the pharmacies. Walgreens is all of our Walgreens all over the state. And to your comment, Ron, I think Joe Biden just said that he wants to introduce action, whatever you want to call it, to get a lot more pharmacies involved to build a network of getting shots taken. I think that's true.
That's great.
Well, we're going to go to sports, but I had a call earlier in the show that asked me, what can we do when I say America has a heart problem? Well, for the past 50 minutes, you've heard a heart problem. We've been discussing race. We've been discussing killings. We've been discussing many different topics in this man's voice. That's what I mean by a heart problem. America has a true heart problem. And I want to explain what I mean by a heart problem. One of my role models is Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of how Jesus was doing miracle after miracle after miracle. And he ran into the Sadducees and the Pharisees, were considered religious leaders at the time. And they tried to trip him up. They said, okay, Jesus, you're this smart man and doing all these miracles, believe in the Ten Commandments. Which one is greater than the other? Number one or number 10? Which one? 1 through 10. Give it to us. Jesus looked them in the eye and says, well, love thy neighbor as thyself, and then love thy God and thy God only. When you've done those two, you've done all 10. So the moral of the story is, if we were to love our God, the one that made each and one of us a human being, as ourselves, and then love our neighbor, then we can solve the heart problem. That's the problem. That's the solution to the problem. America has a heart problem. Until we learn how to know that we got to love God, number one, and then love our neighbor as thyself. I'm equal with you. You're equal with me. Then we can begin to solve it. That's what I mean by a heart problem.
Very beautifully said.
Right there.
Spencer, give us some sports, my brother. What's happening on the court?
Hey. How are you gentlemen doing this wonderful evening? Okay.
Go Michigan Wolverines.
man? What happened to the Big Ten? What happened to the Big Ten?
What Big Ten is falling apart. And it started with Illinois.
I don't care about
the
other one.
Give it to us, brother. Give us the sports. Come on.
Well, the recap, Loyola Chicago beat Illinois in the men's second round, which is a major, major, major upset. Right now, you also got Baylor won against Wisconsin today. That was a pretty good game. Tonight, you have, for you West Coast fans, you have the Lakers at Sun, Mavericks at Trailblazers. It's just a little something, everything going around the way, like I said earlier, the biggest news right now is Deshaun Watson, which is the quarterback for the Houston Texans. He's in a lot of trouble with the sexual assault case. He had about six women come forward now. I'm pretty sure more will come. That's how it always works. And you have the Miami Open that's supposed to happen, I think, sometime this week, and a lot of stars are withdrawing. I don't know if it's because of just COVID concerns or they're just waiting for the bigger events. But you got stars like Serena and the Joker and Federer that all have pulled out of the Miami Open. And also in sports, we have some free agency news. You know, the Dolphins are getting better on offense. They signed Will Fuller to a big contract, you know, just 1 year. But that's hoping to bolster the offense for you Dolphins fans out there, as I am one. A lot of big free agency moves. Fitzpatrick, starter for Washington. You have guys just going everywhere in the NFL. Actually, just a lot of big free agency news going on. That's really about it for sports.
Thank you very much, Spencer. We appreciate you. Hey, Darius, give us your burning desire. Give us the 30-second burning desire that you got to say before we close.
I just wanted Spencer to mention that one of the hottest teams in the NBA, the Atlanta Hawks, are now on a 9-game winning streak after firing their coach and head coach Nate McMillan and beating the Lakers last night out in L.A., Michael. And I also wanted to say, Brother Don, man, you should do this thing every week, man. You did an awesome job, brother. Good hearing from you.
Jeremiah, what do you have to say for 30 seconds? Give it to us.
It's all about those Kings. I'm going to stick to sports. Those Miami Hurricanes are ready for spring ball. I can't wait till football starts, man. I can't wait for football.
Brother Ron, what do you think?
Don, I agree with Darius. I think you need to do this every week. You are stellar, my friend. You are amazing.
Well,
Brother Bruce,
what do you think?
Don't be surprised if my Michigan Wolverines end up, if not on top, awfully close to it. They got a new coach that just is making everybody shocked on his performance. And I also agree with everyone else. Don, you did a super job today. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, you know, this is the gift God gave me. I've been doing this now for 50 years or more. And I want to thank our visionary, Mr. David, and he's the one that gave me the opportunity to host this show. I want to say I was sitting down when God gave him this vision. He said, Don, I want to start a men's podcast. For men only, Don. Men need to be able to talk to each other and talk like they're in a barbershop. And I've seen this young man take this vision and multiply it. And then not only that, get the most awesome hosts, Michael, Bruce, Ron, Jeremiah, Darius, Spencer, and the ones that have gone on before me. But the thing is, I enjoyed myself today, and don't forget to write down the phone number, 646-668-8740. I'm still looking for that person of Asian this set to call next week and tell us what they think about the man's voice. Thank you very much.
Don, you did better than Tom Joyner could ever do.
God bless everyone. Have a safe and healthy week.
Hey, thank you.
Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to
thank
the
you,
man.
Gentlemen.
Come back and join us again next week, same time, 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, for The Man's Voice. I want to say thanks to Don and say what a wonderful show. Everyone have a great week, and welcome to spring. Talk to you again next week, guys. Good night.